This recording is a production of the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee. This presentation was recorded at the Conservative Anabaptist School Board Institute 2023, held at Pleasant View School in Arcola, Illinois, on March 3 and 4.
All right, well, I think we're going to get started here. I do have just a couple questions here right off. How many of you are offsite school principals? Okay. And do you have other jobs? Are you board members as well, or?
I have one more board this year.
Okay.
I'm half-time principal.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Good morning.
All right. What about?
Chairman, administrator.
Okay.
Just to publish that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so basically what I'm going to be looking at, I want to look at a little bit at the history of Trogger Mennonite School is where I'm at. I am not a principal or administrator or anything. I am the board chairman there. The church and school was started about 10 years ago. And so when we started, we were just a few families, and we were kind of struggling to just make it happen. So the first year, we did have two teachers. That was in 2012, 2013. We had two teachers and 12 students, ranging from first grade through, we had one 12th grader that year. And so it's quite a spread of students. And so we as a board felt a little inadequate with trying to get this all started. Thankfully, one of our teachers was an experienced teacher, and she helped us, or basically did the curriculum planning for us. The first several years was just kind of one of those where we just relied on the teachers, just do your job. And we tried to make sure the funds were there and do some of those things. Soon realized that there's going to need to be just a little more help and guidance with the teachers there, that this wasn't going to be able to be sustained for long term in this kind of a way. So I was the board chairman, and I guess am one that will pick up on jobs sometimes when not even asked to. So I got myself into some of the roles of principal without a title. Looking back, I wish I would have done it different as the chairman to appoint be appointed at that rather than kind of an unspoken thing. So I guess I would say one of the things would be to be able to effectively communicate things and set things up with that. And I think it's maybe even more a need for if you are not on site, not involved in the daily grind of the school, to be communicating. We did then, some years later, appoint someone to be principal, and that did work, and we do currently have a principal on staff, which is much easier from my perspective and from us as a board to be able to work in that way. And that's one of the reasons I asked that question, is that can that be sustained for long term? I think it can be, depending on how you have it set up, and I'd be interested in hearing how some of you have yours set up with not being involved daily with the teachers and things. We'll maybe get to that a little bit later. One of the things that I would say, probably the first thing with a off-site principal is to delegate. We simply can't all, we can't, any one of us can't do it ourselves. And that goes for a lot of things, but to delegate responsibilities and to allow others to help in the responsibilities that we have. So be a team leader. Sometimes when we're involved in something that we're not there every day, it's easy to be disconnected, or maybe we tend to feel like a juggler where we're throwing balls in the air and we drop a couple because we're too busy keeping these up. Maybe it's at our work, maybe it's somewhere else, and we can't continue on like that. And I would like to suggest that rather than being a juggler, which is an actor, that we would be a team leader, so where we could delegate the responsibility instead of trying to do everything ourselves and to make a show of ourselves, because none of us are able to do it on our own. The first example that comes to my mind is a football team, and I'm sure some of you have played football or play football, and when you do that, you have to work together as a team. It doesn't work to just have one guy get the football and just run down the field every time. The other team will soon figure that out, and it's not going to be effective. The same is true if you're taking everything and running with it at your school. So to allow others to join in. For a football team to be effective, they have to have good people that are blocking to make a way for the person that's carrying the ball. They have to have other people that can catch well, that can run fast. You have to have different gifts and abilities. That is very true with us as schools. Like I said, none of us are meant to do it on our own. We are all earthen vessels. And I'd just like to read a couple verses here in 2 Corinthians 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So we have to remember that what we have has been given to us. God has given us to bring glory to Him. And so it's not about me, about myself. It needs to be, and that's why we need to delegate, so we can allow others to help and to go on. Sometimes we may think, well, but I want to be a real leader. But I would suggest that a real leader does delegate because of those things. It's not a weakness to delegate other responsibilities to someone else. Because if we try to do everything ourselves, we become overwhelmed. Jobs may not get done the way they should get done. And so that's one of the things that you need to do as a off-site principal, and also as an on-site principal, there's you also need to. Romans 12, verses 3 through 6 say, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us." So we're to think soberly of ourselves. And that doesn't mean to think that we're lower than we ought to, but that is to think rightly. And so you have gifts and abilities that God has given you, so use them, but remember that others have gifts and abilities too, and use them to further the school. The other thing we have to remember with it is not my school, it is our school. And it is ultimately to further the kingdom of God. It's not about me. One of the practical things that we did in our school early on was we set up a lead teacher that when we weren't there, or in the case of the earlier years when I wasn't there, we gave authority to one of the teachers at the beginning of each school year to be the lead teacher there, so that if things come out throughout the day that need to be taken care of, they don't always need to, well, call Chet or try to figure out what to do. You could go to the one teacher and he or she made the decision to keep the day going. And another example of that was for our, we have chapel every Wednesday morning, and so one of the responsibilities was for that teacher to contact the person the day before or night before, just to make sure they're coming for that, just to follow the schedule and make sure of that. And then also they would lead out in that, open up that that meeting time. That was one way that we did that, so that there could be some structure there for the teachers to go with. And right with that, I would add that probably a number two thing that I would see here is communication. And that means as a principal, you need to communicate with the teachers, the board, the parents, the students. They're those people that need to be informed of what's happening, informed what's happening throughout the year, so that you can move clearly. It's always good to establish that communication before you come up against a problem. And now what do I do? If you have that communication, you have a way of getting out information, maybe by email, by letters, by meeting, talking with people. You have a system in place before you something rises. So you're able to get information that needs to get out to people. And the other thing with that, you need to be clear in what you mean to say, what needs to be done or what needs to happen. One of the ways that we have at our school is we have twice a year we have a parent-teacher conference, we call it PTF, where we can give information to the parents. Teachers can share things there, and so that's a way of just keeping the groups informed of some of the things that are happening at school. And this doesn't mean that you have to be the one that's always talking. In fact, to be a good communicator, you need to spend time listening. And sometimes that can be difficult. It's hard to have those awkward silences with somebody. But we need to listen. You need to listen well. Not formulating what you want to say when as soon as he's done with his question, listen to what the person has. And that can be done through phone calls, that can be done through breakfast meetings, maybe with the teachers, maybe with parents, maybe they have an issue with a teacher or struggling with a student, with a teacher. Make sure you communicate. And don't assume that things are getting done or assume that everybody knows what's happening. It's never good to assume. Something that happened this year that was somewhat amusing to me. So we have a policy at school that the students are not to use their cell phones during school hours, besides at lunchtime if they have an emergency they need to take care of or something. And so one day about 10:30 or 11 o'clock, I got a text message from one of the seniors in our school. And I thought, that's strange that he's texting me. He was asking about a date of something that's coming up later in the year. I thought, well, I don't know, he's asking about it. So I told him the dates, told him what was happening. And at the end, he said, oh, and don't tell Mr. Conrad, which is our principal at this point. So at that point, I was led to assume that Mr. Conrad didn't know about it. I wasn't quite sure what to do at that point, because I was assuming that. The next time I got in to talk to Mr. Conrad, I asked, were you asking about some dates later in the year that for an event? And he said, oh yeah, I told Jaden that he was supposed to check with you for sure, because he was working on something with the project that's coming up. And so he had just stuck that in there, hoping that I would maybe think there was a problem and try to address something, you know. So I was thankful that I didn't react to it, but I did check it out. So that was just something that I thought of, that sometimes we assume too much, and it's never good to assume. Ask. We can talk. So communicate. We can listen. There are times where you need to act like a filter. You can't say everything that you know as a principal. And this goes for off-site and on-site. Now, this was interesting thinking about this. And I asked our teachers. So we have several teachers that have taught for a number of years and taught when we didn't have an on-site principal, and now when we do. And they said this point is probably a thing that they see that an on-site may have a little more of a struggle with, to be a filter for the teachers. Because every day they're talking to each other after school, they meet. The teachers hear things, more things that are happening. And sometimes that doesn't need to be communicated to the teachers. So I'm suggesting that you need to be a filter. A little bit of an example is sometimes the board may be discussing a problem or issue that comes up, and there'll be a long discussion on this, and we finally come to a conclusion, and you as the principal come to the teachers and say, this is the conclusion, that's the way that it should be done. You shouldn't come to the teachers and say, well, John thought that we should do it this way, Paul thought we should do it this way, and I mean, this is a crazy idea. So you don't need to tell all of the story. You just tell the decision that was made. So in that way, you're a filter, which can be easier, I think, as an off-school principal, off-site. So you can, you're not in there all the time, so you don't just talk about everything. And I think that's important that you don't talk about everything in that way. Another example here with the communication thing is the idea of a bridge, because you are there to help bring things together between groups of people. And to be effective, you need to do that well so that they can come together and be one when it comes to, sometimes you need to communicate to two groups and you need to convey properly so that the two groups are together in it. Don't be a drawbridge that just goes up and down, that sometimes you're connected and sometimes you're not. Be a bridge so that the information can connect that needs to connect. Number three here is accountability. I think this is important for any one of us, but be accountable to someone or have someone that you can talk to, maybe the board chairman or one of the pastors at your church or something, that you can talk about things that come up or questions that you may have that you can't freely just talk to anyone about. Because there are times that being a principal or being in any authority that you can feel alone because of not having someone to talk to. And like I said before, you can't tell everyone everything you know about all the situations. So this, having someone that you can be accountable to, someone that you can talk to freely, will help that you don't feel as alone. I know it has helped for me, having a brother that I can freely talk to, bounce off ideas, have him pray for me in a specific area, something that is very important. There are some times that you do feel alone that is probably your own fault or my own fault. There are times when we shut out other people's ideas and think my way or the highway type of thing. And that, I think, is not good. And that is a time that you can also feel lonely if you're waiting for people to appreciate you. Because as a leader, we need to get our confidence from God, not from man. We are not to please man. We are to please God. And our relationship with God needs to be one that is connected. Or we can't be effective as leaders. The other thing I'm suggesting is that we have structure. And sometimes we, as conservative Anabaptists, push back against structure. We think of legalism right away. But the truth is, as students, as children, they need structure in order to learn. It's one of the reasons that some schools require uniforms. We'd say, wait a minute. We don't need more rules, and we're not going back to the law. But the fact is, children do much better with structure. People do better with structure. And so you need to bring structure in to the organization that you're accountable for here. Even just simple things like setting up the schedule for school. And I heard Matt Bontrager talking about here as they're growing, you need to change schedules sometimes. They couldn't all have break at the same time because in the wintertime or bad weather, well, the gym isn't big enough for everybody to have a little time to play. So you have to figure out the schedule and work out times of lunch and things like that, just practical things that bring structure to the classroom. Also, as an off-site principal, I found it very helpful to have a schedule of when you're meeting with staff. For a while, we were doing it once a month, and we ended up doing it once a week. that we would come in to sit down with the staff. And that is a time that was scheduled so that the staff knew when to be able to bring questions, when to expect you. You weren't showing up when they're busy trying to last minute get studying done, interrupting their thing. So I would suggest to, in that way, structure something so that you can have, so that the staff know what to expect. It is also good, though, I think, to be effective is to show up at the end of the day when it's not your day to be there, just to hear from them. So you're not always there to crack the whip. We're always there to meet. There are times when you can just be there just to hear what's happening. The chatter after school, I found, in my experience, to be a good time to hear what's actually happening in the classroom when they're just talking about what happened in the day. And bring a snack. Teachers appreciate that. That can go for anyone. You don't have to be a principal to do that. Along with the structure, be proactive with planning things like field trips, graduations, other programs. Too often those things kind of get pushed off and, well, we're going to have a program in the spring. We're going to have a field trip in the spring. And so you wait and then, oh, we need to plan something for that field trip. So you try to put together a schedule or a program. So be proactive. Think ahead with it. And have a structure, maybe that you know that your field trips are planned for a certain time. It will help to make your job easier. It will help to make things go more smoothly. And don't be afraid to put procedures in place for things at school. So we had kind of an issue coming up with our drop-off of our students and picking up students. So there was vans and cars and people running everywhere. And our parking lot's not very large. And so the high schoolers were parked in one area. And so their siblings are running out here behind their cars, in their cars, around their cars, playing tag, whatever. So we had to set up some policies that they would go in front of the and come to the front side of their cars and go in to make it more effective and also for safety, obviously. And the other parents that are coming to pick up would simply pull in and park beside each other so that they could pull out again without needing to back up or everybody knew where these vehicles were going. And so that's the kind of thing that procedures that need to be done, sometimes for safety, sometimes just to make things flow better. And so it does not hurt to have that. And along with that, we had problems with our high schoolers racing out to the across the parking lot to the entrance to leave the exit. And so we were made to have a policy that they follow the markings on the parking lot and go to the end of the the driveway and stop before pulling out because it kind of ended up being a mad dash to the road, which again was a safety thing. So that was something that's the type of things that will make school much, much easier and better to operate. Number five here, I have ownership. Give ownership to your teachers. That was another thing I found to be helpful for us as a board was when you give ownership to them, they're more willing to invest more time into what they're doing at school. So be open to some of their ideas. Possibly you have a teacher that excels in music. And if you're a smaller school like we were, well, you can't, you don't always have a music teacher. you have each class kind of does their own thing some of the years, and you don't have the luxury of having that designated. But maybe you have someone that excels, and so you can tap that person to lead a program and allow them, give them some freedom to plan the program so that it gives them ownership in the school as well. Because as we, any of us, feel ownership, we're willing to invest more into whatever we're doing. It's a great way of developing teachers as well, if you see gifts that they may have. The last thing here is contentment. Be content with what you have to work with. There are always going to be other schools, for most of us anyway, there's always going to be a bigger, better school, one that has teachers for most of their classrooms, one that has seemingly more finances than we do to work with, one that has a nice gym, but be content with what you have. We are warned against covetousness in the Bible quite a bit. One that I'd just like to read here as just an encouragement for us is in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man will do to me. And I'm here to say that I can assure you that God will provide for you what is needed to go forward. It may not always look like you think it should, but as you're content with what you have and work with the resources that you have, work with the money, the school, the teacher, the space that you have, God will continue to enable you to do the job that he has called you to do. A story that I will share with that is, so when we purchased this building for, this is more for our church side, but it's the same building we use for our school. Before we had purchased it, we didn't even know the building was for sale for sure yet. We knew it was vacant. We had looked at the property. We were looking at moving into this particular area. A brother from our home congregation found out that there were some benches that were for sale. We knew what this building looked like, but we'd never been inside. And so he decided to purchase the benches in case they would fit in the building. It was about a half year later when we signed a contract on this building. And before we did that, while we were able to get in and measure some of it, our building has a strip of carpeting down the middle and spots where benches were, but they were taken out before we purchased it. Anyone want to guess how those benches fit in there? They fit right to it. And that is the work of God, and that is the God we serve. And so be content. Do it with joy and not grudgingly, as you work with what you have. So just a couple other things that I, when I'd ask our teachers, what they thought about off-site versus having principal at school, most of the teachers said they like it better because they can feel like they can move as a unit. The one thing was that the one negative was that possibly it's harder for the principal to have a filter for complaints that come in from parents or other things when they're there every day. And the other thing that I didn't mention anything before was one of them was a new teacher, and when the off-school principal was there, he was able to help with some of his teacher questions and stuff, which I know maybe not all of us have teacher experience, but at this point, with the principal having a full teaching schedule, he is not as free to be able to help new teachers if you have new teachers coming in. So that's something that you could think of as well as an off-site principal. But, we currently, just for some more history of our school, we currently have 4 teachers and 30 students. And like I said, we currently have a principal there on staff, which I, as the board chairman, am very thankful for, because I feel for you with being board chairman and trying to be principal. It's it feels like everything comes to you, because it's kind of what happens. I think it, from my experience, it would maybe be better if it be someone else, but it can work, because it's what needs to be done sometimes. So, in closing here, read Colossians 3:23-24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So go in that. We serve Jesus, and in a practical way through our service at school. So thank you.
Thank you for listening. For additional recordings produced by the Conservative Anabaptist Education Committee, visit The Dock for Learning at www.thedockforlearning.org.